Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. We welcome back Dr. Chris Bergwald for our interview today, kind of talking about life with coronavirus all around us, matters of faith, matters of sacraments, matters of just living out our faith in this rather unusual time. Hope you'll stick around. I think it's an interesting conversation that we have. Renee Kranz will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday in Lent. Michelle Sletten with the first and second reading. Father Joseph Schulten with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them, and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, Master, the one you love is ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise. Martha said, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here is Renee Krantz.
Acknowledging the extraordinary measures people need to take to remain physically healthy during the coronavirus pandemic, Bishop Barry C. Nestout of Richmond told the people of his diocese they need to be mindful of their spiritual health. "We also confront a spiritual danger, one of fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, and possibly even despair. This danger is caused by our interior response to an external threat to our life, culture, work, and home," he said during his homily at a private mass live-streamed from the Cathedral of the Sacred Heart March 22nd. "As we confront this threat to our well-being, it is important to remember that we must attend to our spiritual as well as our physical health," he added. "Both are interrelated and one affects the other." The day after the mass, the bishop learned he had tested negative for the coronavirus. On March 14th, he went into self-isolation out of care and caution because he had a minor cold after returning from 2 weeks of traveling around the diocese. Catholic leaders praised Colorado Governor Jared Polis for signing a death penalty repeal bill into law March 23rd, making Colorado the 22nd state to abolish the death penalty. He also commuted the sentences of the state's three death row inmates to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The Colorado Catholic Conference, the public policy arm of the state's Catholic bishops, said that for many years it has supported efforts to repeal the death penalty, and it was grateful for the determination and commitment it took for the state legislature to pass this bill. "Many Christians are caught in a trap of complaining about everything and doing nothing about it," Pope Francis said in his morning mass. "The sin of sloth, marked by careless indifference, apathy, and self-pity, is a poison, a fog that envelops the soul and doesn't let it live," he said. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Krantz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Thanks so much, Renee. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we welcome back to the microphone Dr. Christopher Bergwald. Chris, I didn't really expect to have you back on quite so soon, but in the midst of the coronavirus and all that is going on, I thought it might be helpful to take some time and just try to almost do a Q&A in terms of the kinds of things we're hearing people ask in terms of sacraments, in terms of the practice of their faith, in terms of what does this mean to my soul?
Amen.
All of that stuff. So welcome back.
Thanks, Dre. Glad to be here considering the circumstances.
Yeah, so we're still in Lent.
As
people are hearing this, you know, what a very different kind of Lenten experience we're having.
We are. This was not... I mean, to be honest, Jerry, I was aware, even back in January, of what was going on in China. I followed the news a little bit, and I was aware. And I was kind of like, this could get here at some point. I didn't think it'd be here this quickly, and I certainly did not envision the level of measures that we are rightly taking in order to slow down its spread. Having said that, I think just as I've reflected, to be honest, been inspired by the messages of our bishop, Bishop de Grude, just kind of, okay, Lord, what is in this for us? I don't think there's a better season where you could ask for this to happen than the season of Lent. I'm not making light of the disease or the virus at all, but if the Lord truly is, as I am convinced, as we believe as Catholics, profess it to be true, that he's in charge of everything, therefore he's allowing this for some reason, so what is the good that he desires for us in this? Where is the good? I think Lent is the perfect season for this to be happening in.
So I suspect each Lent we ought to be asking ourselves that question.
Amen.
In a certain way,
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
But boy, is it brought home in this moment.
Well, so one thing that occurred to me, and I got this insight from the writings of a priest just over the last weekend. You know, Lent, and you and I probably talked about, I'm sure we talked about this, you know, we take on penances.
Right.
But who's in charge of that?
Yeah.
Me. I'm deciding, I try to discern, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Sure.
This is something else completely.
Yeah.
This is this is the reality of any form of suffering and pain. We don't choose to take it on. The question is, how do we respond when we're confronted by any form of well, for lack of a better word, penance that we did not choose.
So what do we do with it?
Yeah.
Is the question. And and again, as always, we can look to our Lord for the answer. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because he showed us the way.
He showed us the way. I think first and foremost, we're approaching here just in a week or two, Holy Week. And Jesus' response in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's sorrowful to the point of literally sweating blood. Mm-hmm. But what does he say to the Father? Not my will, but yours be done. He's not excited about what he knows he's going to experience, but he accepts that this is God's will and it's what is best for him, but through him for all of us.
For humanity. Yeah.
But I also think, Jerry, you know, one thing that Bishop DeGrude, in one of his first videos, I think the video in which he announced that he's going to be suspending Mass with a congregation for a time, he talked about the episode in the Gospels of Jesus calming the storm. And one thing, as I reflected more on that story, one thing that I noticed is that Jesus, even in his humanity, was not troubled by the storm. He's sorrowful when Lazarus dies, the Garden of Gethsemane. But there are other instances like the storm on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus completely trusts in his Father and is even in his humanity, he's calm and at ease. In fact, in Matthew's account, when the disciples wake Jesus, "Save us, Lord, for we're perishing." Before he rebukes the storm, before he calms the seas, he rebukes the disciples
for their lack of faith,
for their insufficient faith.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, I'll get to the storm, but guys, you need to wake up.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm with you in this.
So pay attention to the moment is what I'm hearing you say for all of us in this Lenten season. Pay attention to the moment and what the Lord is really maybe putting on your own heart.
Right, because I think a couple of things, like takeaways, I think that apply to all of us. Yeah, again, then kind of being crystal clear about something I said earlier, this is something where our lack of control is being made very manifest and evident for every one of us.
Yeah.
We can take measures, but in the end, it's just showing our powerlessness.
Yeah.
Before nature, in this case.
That's a real challenge, I think, for a lot of people. I mean, I'll admit it. It's a challenge for me. I want to be in control.
Absolutely.
I want to drive my own ship and figure out where I'm going.
Yeah, most definitely.
And how I'm going to, you know, how I'm going to get there.
Right, right. And it's okay to some degree to seek to have the control. But I think what the Lord is reminding us is ultimately we don't have the level of control that we think we have or certainly that we want to have. But the other thing too, Jerry, secondly, especially in this time in which for the time being, we don't have access. Well, we have access to some of the sacraments,
right,
but not to the Eucharist. And you and I have talked about this before off the air. I think this is just a reminder for us. Maybe for me, I take the Eucharist for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not doing that right now.
Yeah.
So maybe the silver lining there too is a greater desire, to receive our Lord in the Eucharist with more attention and more fervor.
There certainly have been some who have pushed back to you know, the decision that not just Bishop DeGrude, but pretty much every bishop in the country has had to make, not by desire, but because they really felt they had to make that decision. But there's been some pushback to that. And the, you know, the people say, well, you know, we need the Eucharist more than ever. And I think the answer is, you're right.
Yes.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I was struck by it. But this is... There are people who go without the Eucharist for longer stretches of time than we are going to have to.
Right.
I don't know what the future is. I don't know how long it's going to be.
Right.
But I assure you, I think I was talking to a friend recently who had served in the military earlier in life, and he had to go for months and months and months without being able to celebrate, to participate in the Mass and receive the Eucharist.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that long for us.
Yeah. That's a great point. And I just think, again, it's a reminder, if you feel that, so if you really feel that longing for the Eucharist and you honestly think the bishop's made a mistake, actually, that might be a good thing.
Right.
That you have that longing, that you desire the Eucharist that much, that's a good thing.
It is. So I would say, turn to the Lord and express to him your desire, Lord. I and if it is his will, I mean, pray that we, I have been telling people, Jerry, by the way, pray for an end to the pandemic.
Of course.
Pray for an end to the pandemic. But also pray that, in our case, Bishop DeGrude has the wisdom and the prudence and the discernment to do what God's will is in this. Right. I'm trusting him. I do trust him in this. I understand the decision, but I understand the difficulty that it presents. I want to receive Jesus in the Eucharist myself as well.
Yeah.
So pray for the end of the pandemic. Pray for Bishop DeGrude, but also express to the Lord your fervent desire.
You mentioned the other sacraments. I do want to spend a little time on that because one of the questions that I've gotten on several occasions, maybe you have too, is can I do confession over the phone?
Right.
And the quick answer is no.
Right.
But the good news is there are still confession opportunities, I think pretty much all through the diocese.
I think there are. You know, I was talking to a friend who's in Pennsylvania a week and a half ago, and they're going through a greater lockdown. And at least at that time, my friend's parish, there wasn't confession for the time being. As far as I know, yeah, generally speaking, most of our parishes.
And with the caveat that we are recording this in advance, and so things could have changed by the time people are hearing it.
Right.
So just know that as you listen to this program. I do want to, you know, maybe provide just a little bit fuller answer to why the answer is no to doing it on the phone. My understanding is it has to do with the actual sacrament, how the sacrament works.
Yeah, in order for the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, to be valid, it has to be in the penitent and the priest have to be in the presence of one another.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean a foot away through a screen. I mean, the social distancing things still apply. But in physical proximity to one another in order for it to be valid. It's the same reason why, frankly, for us to do the beautiful thing of watching the Mass is not the same thing as participating in the Mass. It still has merit and value,
right?
But it's not the same thing. Similarly with reconciliation, not the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. How about other sacraments? I've heard a little conversation about anointing.
And you can correct me if my recollection is, at least in our diocese, that there's the possibility that the bishop has not forbidden any priests to do that.
My hunch is it's going to happen in a case where somebody might be in a more extreme circumstance.
Yes.
Than the typical parish anointings that happen.
Yeah. I don't think that we're going to see there's not going to be any public anointing masses at this point, at least.
Right.
But I think if there's a serious reason, I would imagine, to be honest, Jerry, so as recording, this is beforehand, by the time this airs, my father-in-law will have undergone triple bypass open heart surgery.
Okay.
And I'm sure he'll have received the sacrament of the anointing of the sick beforehand.
Yeah. So let that be a comfort to you as well in knowing that hasn't gone away. How do you answer the question, Chris, when people say, and I guess it kind of goes back to the suspension of masses, but you know, that the church isn't with people, because we're not doing masses, it means the church isn't with people in the way, that people might like.
I think the key is that final phrase, Jerry, in the way that I might like.
Okay.
The church is still with me because my friends and my family is still with me, and they're part of the church. What people mean by what you're saying usually is our clergy aren't with us, but they are. I mean, my pastor is as present to us as he possibly can be. I mean, my parish is, 1,200 families or so. So he can't, he's not going to stop by and visit us, but he's made himself available through the Sacrament of Reconciliation. If I needed to talk to him on the phone, I know I could call the office and visit with him. Mm-hmm. The church is open for me to go in and pray. Again, right now, currently, there are different things where I do have recourse to the ways in which my priest can accompany me and all of us in the midst of this. Maybe not in the way that I'm used to or the way that I would like, but again, I'm not in control. And I have to see what the Lord is saying to me in the midst of this.
You keep coming back to that.
I know I do.
Yeah, I think, that's probably the biggest takeaway, for any of the things that we're talking about this morning is there is a surrender that is required of us. Even in our longing, even in our desire, there is a surrender.
Because the reality is I'm not. I'm right now.
And maybe it was an illusion that we ever were.
Right. Or to the degree that we wanted to be. Yeah. Right. I mean, I can control some things, but not everything I want.
Talk about that in light of eternity. Because I think if we allow it, this can be a moment to help us understand a little bit better eternity.
So to me, in these moments, when we recognize that we lack control, we have to recognize that my image for me is a little child, maybe one of my younger kids, maybe me when I was young, walking in the dark with my dad or my child with me. And I'm stumbling, and my dad is just saying to me, Chris, hold my hand. I can see in a way that you can't. Do you trust me? Hold my hand. And I think that that's what the Father is saying to every one of us. Do you trust me or not? I will get you through this. Not necessarily. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, the Lord, not necessarily without pain and suffering.
Right.
But do you trust me? And I think that's, to me, like, that's what it means to have the faith of a little child, mm-hmm. to trust that the Father is going to see me and all of us through this. Doesn't necessarily mean it'll be easy, but as somebody said back in our legacy celebration in 2015, one of our keynote speakers, Curtis Martin, said, the Lord's way is not always the easiest way, but it is the best way. Mm. Do I really believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I willing to take the hand the Father is spiritually extending to me and trusting him in the midst of this?
And then that is the preparation for eternity.
Yeah, because that's what heaven is.
That's what
that's
heaven
being
is.
Being with the Father who I've entrusted my life, my being, my existence, my family, everything to during my earthly existence in heaven as well.
So what you're saying, and I'm just going to be honest here about myself. It's a bit of a gut check.
Because I
feel like I... You know, God and I get along pretty good.
Right.
And I feel like that most of the time, but wow.
Yeah.
You know, it is a bit of a gut check.
It is. For me, it's prompted me, to say to myself, do I really trust him? Do I really, when the rubber meets the road, do I trust him? And so for me, it has been a gut check as well, Jerry.
So in light of our conversation, There is still a fair amount of fear, I think, out there.
Sure.
For all kinds of reasons.
Yep.
You know, the unknowns.
Yep.
There's still so many unknowns. We don't know when the end is. We don't know what the implications are in all kinds of directions. And so I think there's fear that can come from that. What do we do with that?
The one thing we can always do is pray. So I've been praying for that calm and peace for myself, for those who are, for everyone, but those closest to me in particular way, praying for an end to the pandemic, praying for wisdom for our leaders in the church, in the local, state, federal government, governments around the world, praying for wisdom. Those three things, for an end of the pandemic, for peace, calm, and so on, and then for wisdom for our leaders in the church and in the world to guide us through this. Because this is, it's not completely, we've experienced pandemics before, but on this scope, not in living memory.
Yeah.
And so for them to have the wisdom to discern the best way to get us through this as best as possible.
What are the kind of questions are you hearing from people, or have you maybe had yourself?
So in addition to the things I think I've already talked about and the questions about when's this going to end and so on, more the faith side, I think people are just, how can I keep growing? How can I help those, my loved ones, family members, parishioners, how can I help them? How can I help others through this, with as much sense of normalcy as possible in an abnormal time? And so that's why we've been in all sorts of ways. Our diocese has been seeking to offer support to our parishes and to the parishioners for them in the short term, how to nuts and bolts things, but also in terms of our faith, how to follow Jesus into the boat, if you will, and trust him in the midst of the storm.
We've been sending a fair amount of information out, either through the parishes or directly to people through email, those that we have email for. But it might be a good reminder, too, that if you have friends or relatives, older folks, perhaps, that don't use those tools, don't use the website, don't use social media, maybe to reach out to them and make sure they know what's going on.
Yep. Make them aware, and wouldn't encourage you necessarily to go over them.
No.
I mean, but keep them up to speed and inform them. Things definitely like I think the TV Mass right now, and to hear in his homily during the TV Mass what our shepherd has to say to us is a very powerful thing.
Yeah. And I, as far as I know, at least in the short term, his schedule has changed too. So he's freed in a sense to do the Sunday TV mass. And, I think he'll be doing it at least for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a help.
Yeah. But just real quickly, what a baptism by fire as a new bishop.
Yeah. No kidding.
My goodness.
What a challenge. Pray for him.
Yeah, he was always asking us to pray for his holiness, and he added, pray for my health too, because he's recovering himself from influenza and pneumonia.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. I'm sure there are other questions that people have, and are going to have as this continues to unfold in the time ahead. We don't, again, we don't know exactly what that looks like, what that means. But I feel like you've given some helpful tools this morning, Chris, to help people kind of shoulder on.
Right.
Soldier on.
Right. Soldier on, but recognize not like, okay.
Not grudgingly or whatever the right
grudgingly,
word is.
But not just that either. Simon of Cyrene. We've been given a heavy cross, but the Lord is actually helping us to carry it as well. So it's sort of the reversal of Simon. Simon helped Jesus carry his cross. Jesus has given us all a real cross in this, but he is also helping us carry it in the midst of this as well.
Yeah. I can't imagine dealing with this stuff without some kind of a faith life.
Oh, amen.
And I hope and pray, frankly, that it's a moment of evangelization.
Right.
And maybe that seems odd to say.
Right.
But I hope it is. I hope for some it's a spark to look for something deeper.
You know, Jerry, one reference in John's gospel, the night before Jesus died on the cross, somewhere in the Last Supper discourse, it's called, Jesus says to his disciples, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." In the world, you encounter many troubles.
Yes.
But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And I think we're called to not be Pollyannish and ignore the trouble that we're facing, but to, in the midst of it, be of good cheer, be joyful and at peace and calm, and really embody that and live it. And that by itself, that's what's contagious.
Amen. Yeah, more contagious than a virus.
Amen.
We hope. It is.
It is.
It is. Dr. Chris Bergwald, thanks so much for being with us this morning on Catholic Views.
You bet, Jerry.
Renee, just want to touch back to the news this morning when you mentioned the Holy Father asking us to pray. Mm-hmm. He's been doing that in really interesting ways. We had the time to pray the Our Father all together.
Yep, rosary all together.
I think that's a really nice rallying place.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be more.
Yeah, keep watching.
Keep watching for that. All right, that's our time for Catholic Views today. We'll be back with you next week.